you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey.
Hello, everyone.
Happy Sunday, everyone.
Listen, we'll just say this. We know you guys don't love when we do interviews on Sundays.
So here's an interview.
Just kidding. Stay with us.
Yeah. Don't turn us off.
We did mention this on Thursday. It was just a little bit of a coincidence with the Steve Wilco show. But we are back to our regular scheduled
programming
cases.
Yes.
We hear you loud and clear.
Your shitty hosts are here and ready to get drunk.
Mom and Dad are back from their interviews.
We are.
All right.
Interviews. We just have a few interviews that we have to get through.
A crazy thing is happening where we sat down and we're ready to record and our drinks are already here before the show starts. Matt, what is this? What is this new version of you that we're seeing here in 2020?
Did you decide to like be a like bartender?
Today? I did.
Okay. Good.
Halfway.
Okay, good.
So this is a recipe that Chelsea, have I mentioned Chelsea's name? Anyway, Chelsea told me to make it, so I'm making it. Because the case, Darren doesn't like this, the case takes place in Michigan.
Okay.
It's called the Deer Hunter, and deer are the state's animal.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
There's a connection there.
And deer is our bartender.
That's right.
And the baby inside of me.
Yeah.
Right. All of those things are true. And basically, it's bourbon.
It smells like bourbon. The past two episodes we've done, Matt, before you mentioned the ingredients, you've used Chelsea.
I was just going to say that. I was like, am I making that up?
As the like person who's like, do you date this person to get free drink recipes?
Yeah. Or show Maybe. Ideas, by the way, because I think.
Or like, do you not know the internet exists?
I do what she tells me to do.
I was just going
to
say,
which is why it's working out.
Yeah,
Chelsea, blink twice if you need help.
What she tells me to do.
Well, Chelsea is apparently an executive producer on the show now. Thank you, Chelsea.
Thank you, Chelsea, because you're doing the job that we don't pay you to do.
Well, listen, if you're giving Matt ideas, we can take what we can get around here. You know what I'm saying?
Just to finish this, it's bourbon, ginger beer, and lemon juice.
Oh, great. That sounds right at my alley.
And that's it.
Let's cheers. So just to be clear, though, if we hate the drink or hate the recipe, it's still
Chelsea,
Matt's fault.
Yeah, or is it Chelsea's?
It's not Chelsea's.
No, we like Chelsea.
Yeah, we like Chelsea.
Cheers,
cheers,
y'all.
Cheers, bitches. Cheers, bitches.
Cheers, bitches.
Cheers, Chelsea.
Should we change the slogan to cheers, y'all? Matt, I'm stretching.
No.
Sorry. No, you like it?
3 years in. I feel like we should.
I know. I'm just teasing. Tell me what you think about it. It's golden. It's like a very golden.
It's very like... Not as bourbon heavy as I thought it was going to be because
right,
it has a light citrus flavor. What did you say it was? Lemon?
Lemon.
That
I
cuts
think,
it a little bit.
I think there's probably too much lemon.
I like it.
I think it would be, it's a really good drink. I actually think I want ice in it.
Oh.
I think it would be a little bit better chilled.
I think you're right.
A little bit better chilled. Yeah. That's all, but not a big deal if you don't have it.
Yeah, he's bringing it
But I think it
too.
Might help just... Keep it a little blah, 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 blah. Well, let's get into the case this
while
week
Matt's getting, yeah. Why
everyone hates our interviews.
Kick it off.
My God.
No, it's just a joke, guys, by the way.
So Christopher Regan was raised in Detroit and joined the Air Force in his 20s. While he was stationed in Marquette, thank you, Matt. While he was stationed in Marquette, Michigan, he met a school teacher named Terry O'Donnell, and she fell head over heels for him.
Okay.
But they remained just friends for years until Chris left the Air Force. I'm in the Air Force.
You're in the Irish Air Force?
I'm in the Irish Air Force. and found a home in Traverse City, Michigan. Air Force in Traverse.
In Traverse.
Oh my God, can you believe it, laddie?
Look at the Irish.
Look at the Irish. Terry said that in December, I apologize to all of our Irish listeners.
It's
going
to be a whole thing, by the way. You know, every time this happens.
We only have like three listeners.
That's true.
I apologize to the three of you. Terry said in December of 2012, quote, Chris popped up on my computer while I was on it, and we decided to pursue a relationship. And so we started a long distance thing.
Just pops up, and then he's like, we're going to start a relationship. That's as quickly as this happened.
But there is, and let me just say, as someone who's following Love is Blind on Netflix, or The Circle on Netflix, or these shows like... not even The Bachelor, but something where you're like Catfish, for example.
Yeah.
It's very easy to establish a relationship with someone where you don't have to look at them face to face.
Oh,
which
yeah.
sounds crazy, but like the comfort level that you feel around that someone, you're because opening it up.
And you're in control in a sense because Correct. You can turn off your device at any time and just not have to think about it.
So they had shared a passion for the outdoors, something Terry's hometown of Iron River, Michigan had plenty of. Soon Terry helped Chris clean out his house and he moved to Iron River to be with her.
Iron River sounds like Ireland in a sense. By the way, we have 1,000 listeners from Ireland.
Oh, so Air Force.
Careful now.
Their relationship took off, and Chris found stability taking a job as a floor manager at a parts factory for naval ships. He also met a woman named Kelly Cochran. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
A reporter told Snap that Kelly had moved to the area with her husband, Jason, in 2014. Kelly and her husband, Jason, met in high school and got married after they graduated. After the wedding, they started a pool cleaning business together. Which is interesting. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea of being like starting a business with your significant other.
I've always wanted to start my own business. I feel like I'm very, I don't want to say entrepreneurial minded, but I feel like I do have that drive that like, I get a great reward out of creating. I think that's why I do producing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like having a finished product to be proud of, I think that's something. I don't know why I'm telling you this. I'm just throwing it out.
Everything went great for 10 years, but eventually Jason's back had serious problems and he wasn't able to do the job. It was a big burden on Kelly because she had to earn the money on her own, plus do the shopping and take care of everything. I mean, if you hurt your back, you're kind of fucked.
Especially in a pool cleaning business, which sounds backbreaking in
Very
and of
laborious,
itself. Yeah.
Yes. With severe pain, the two decided to relocate to Iron River.
Iron River.
I'm going to take another sip of my
drink.
Yeah,
take a sip and just see if that helps. And yeah, go
Delicious.
From there.
Delicious.
1990.
It actually is a lot better with ice.
Is it good?
If you want some.
I wouldn't know, but that's okay.
Because you're not sipping. Oh,
that's fine.
Matt, you didn't get him
no,
ice?
No, it's all right.
Oh.
That's true.
Tough.
I'll wait till it's my segment.
A lady always deserves ice.
Right.
An author said, quote, I know one of the criteria for where they wanted to relocate was to get a medical marijuana card for Jason. He was using that for his back, end quote. All for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Megan just goes, and Darren comes in with the weed comment. Jason got his medical marijuana card and spent a lot of time playing video games while Kelly took multiple jobs to support them. I already sense tension, right? I already sense something going
on. A lot
wrong.
Of time playing video games, not doing anything else.
Well, the Detroit News wrote, quote, their new neighbors described Kelly as outgoing and friendly while Jason was quiet. Kelly, who has a giant butterfly tattoo on her left shoulder, loved to roller skate and had briefly joined a roller derby team several years earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's the problem?
This is all making sense.
It's a fitting in.
Big butterfly tattoo and roller derby. I'm seeing the picture here.
Those things go
together. Have either of you seen roller derby?
Yes, I love roller derby.
I have
it's
not.
It's pretty crazy.
They're tough.
They are tough.
Tough, tough women. One of the jobs Kelly took was at the same ship factory where Chris worked, and they bonded over being newcomers to town.
Why was Matt at a roller derby?
That's a better question.
Mm, we'll talk about it later.
I had a friend who played, actually.
Oh, okay.
For the Brooklyn team. Yeah.
Oh, they're good.
Is it our friend that used to work here?
No.
Oh, because we had a former coworker that was a roller derby person.
Wow. Okay. Riveting stuff.
Yeah, everyone's so interested.
At the same time Chris and Kelly became friends, Chris's relationship with his girlfriend Terry began to fall apart.
Mm.
In April of 2014, 2 years into their relationship, Chris and Terry decided to call it quits. Terry said, quote, I was planning a trip, a family vacation to Europe, and Christopher decided that he was going to meet up with some other women, so he wasn't lonely or bored. And
okay.
I didn't agree with that, and so we broke off our dating relationship. We'd still go out to eat, we went for walks, and we did things together, end quote. Chris began living alone and looking for work in many areas of the country. Terry told Snap, quote, on October 10th, 2014, my girlfriend's birthday.
Oh.
Chris had called and he told me that he had a new job offer in Asheville, North Carolina, which is a really cool town. Asheville's in the mountains, so he could enjoy that part of life again. The next time I heard from him was the 14th. That morning at 6 a.m., he had texted telling me he took the next day off of work. Okay. That was the last text Terry ever got from him. Fox News reported that Terry said her last conversation with him was making plans to get supper that weekend. Do you say supper?
I did when I was younger. It was it's a supper? Country thing. I think it's a Southern and country thing.
Yeah, I've never said supper.
But then like sometime when I went away to college, I started calling it dinner.
Yeah.
Not for any snooty reason. No. It's just supper does sound very country.
It sounds old fashioned.
It sounds old fashioned and kind of like, yeah, like young even.
Well, Terry said, quote, "And when he made plans, he didn't break them. It was so out of his personality not to respond. There were rumors among our friends he had went to see this woman named Kelly who was married and that maybe he was with her, but that didn't matter. He would have responded right away," end quote. Her friends told her not to worry, but Terry had a very bad feeling. It had been 10 days and she still hadn't heard from him. That's not a good sign, considering even though they broke up, remember, they're still kind of friends.
Yeah.
They go on walks, they hang out.
And you know what? This brings up another point I'd like to make, which is that if you have a texting, I want to say behavior or relationship with somebody, and then, you know, they sort of break away from that normal response time
unless their apartment is flooding and you're in the middle of a conversation and you have to stop talking because your apartment's flooding.
Exactly. Which
just saying from, you know, life experience.
Right. So tune into last Thursday's episode to hear all about that with Darren.
Yeah.
But I think it's important because a lot of people think, no, it's fine. Like, he's probably just taking time off from his phone. And it's like, but people know people. And like, I would know, especially I think with you, we text enough, I would say, that like, if you didn't respond to me for 10 days, I would be very alarmed by that.
If you didn't respond to me in 24 hours, I'd probably write back and just being like, oh, are you ignoring me now? Or like, I would joke about it.
You're
because I didn't want it to be like,
yes.
Because I don't, also, you don't owe me a response in 24 hours, but I'd just be like, oh, are you ignoring me
or
now?
Do I?
And like, sometimes I do, what I don't like about text messages, I think we've seen it before, talked about it before, unlike emails, you can't, once you read them, I want to keep them new so I know to read them.
Yeah.
Like in emails, I'll read something and then mark it unread
so I can
remember. You can't do that with text messages.
That's true.
And it's so annoying.
That is annoying, actually.
Yeah.
Apple, get on that.
Jesus.
An Android.
The thing about this segment that strikes me is that Terry is just, she's just being very cool about Chris's, like, well, I'm not going on the vacation.
Right.
So I'm going to spend time with other women so I don't get lonely. And I wouldn't want to be lonely. And she's not like bashing him for that. She's just like, well, I didn't agree with that.
Right.
So we broke up.
On
which
we go.
Just seems really cool.
Rational. Like,
rational.
I wish I could rationalize things that well, you know, in relationships.
I can.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you.
I can.
Tune into another
I
show.
Can't.
Yeah, right, exactly. Let's all go on record here.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, soon she went to the police station and reported him missing, finally, which I think should have been done, not to her disdain, but, you know, maybe a little bit earlier than 10 days. If somebody you know has not responded in 10 days, I think after like 4 days, it's time to talk to the police.
Well, it depends, though, because then it's also like, you know, is that ex ignoring you?
Right.
He just wants you out of their life and then you've wasted vital police resources. It's not like a child.
No, I guess you're right.
It's an ex.
It's a big every circumstance is different.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, she told police that he had been hired by a company in Nashville, North Carolina. Was it possible he'd vanished for some reason because he moved? Which is, of course,
legitimate question.
Maybe he just wanted to move on. That's understandable. But when police contacted the hiring company, they hadn't heard from him. And by that point, he was supposed to have reported to them.
Okay, so that's we're serious. Yes.
One theory was that he had taken a last trip before his new job. Maybe he got injured on an outdoor adventure.
Totally possible.
I don't know. This is a lot of like, you're not telling people where you are, though, to an untrained eye. You know what I mean?
Right.
Iron River police expanded the search to all of Michigan State, and canine units were brought in to search around his apartment in nearby woods, but no luck. Terry said, quote, "When I walked into the apartment, it was just in complete disarray. All the cabinets were opened up. There were things everywhere," end quote.
I mean,
that's not a good sign.
My OCD is flaring.
I know. I used to open up all the cabinets and pretend I was Vanna White and pretend like I was turning letters. Thanks, Megan, for laughing. So like my mom would come home from work and like all the cabinets would be open. And she'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Oh my God, wait, John.
Yeah, I wanted to be Vanna White. Yes.
You're young.
I'm young.
Let me set the scene for myself.
Go ahead.
You're young.
Yes.
You're in your kitchen. You open up all the cabinets.
I'm in a kitchen with a blanket around me, so it's like a gown. Go ahead.
Okay.
Because I'm Vanna White.
Okay.
Uh-huh. My sister is the audience member.
Make your sister sit through this.
And I've created a puzzle.
Okay,
on
so
the
there's letters
doors.
On the
yes.
cabinet. Oh my God, I thought you were just opening the cabinets and closing them. Did you not think that too? I thought he was just sitting there being like, A, B. That's what I thought. That's what Megan thought too.
Let me live my life, guys.
That is a scene.
That is a scene. So my sister would often solve puzzles of things she had no idea what. Like, she was a couple years younger than me. She was very young. And I hope one day to meet Vanna White because she is an icon. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Wheel of Furniture.
By the way, Megan, I've never seen Megan kind of laugh like at me so hard before.
Yeah, because it was not a with you.
No, it was not. She was not with
you.
It
is not a with you.
No, and Matt just kind of was like, okay, you fucking weirdo in the corner. It's right. Fine.
Well,
I love
it. We all assumed you were just opening cabinets when you were a kid by yourself.
Even if I was doing that, I will never apologize for such a thing.
No, you shouldn't.
I actually was thinking to myself, how did Vanna White land that job and keep that job for so long?
Oh.
She probably made like a fucking fortune.
Oh, she did.
No, she does make
there's a whole thing about it, yes.
And her job has only gotten easier because she doesn't even need to turn the letters anymore. She just touches a TV screen.
And that's been since like 2000. So she's,
right. She's cruising,
holy
dude.
Shit.
And get this, Pat Sajak recently had pancreatic. No. Wait. Yes. I think she is. She was married to a guy named George for many years, had two kids. They're like my age. But Pat Sajak recently had pancreatic cancer surgery or something, and she hosted.
Yes, she did.
And Pat's daughter also hosted, or maybe was on the letter board. Anyway, I'm a huge Wheel of Fortune fan.
Gotta love a female game show host.
I know. My dream is to be on Wheel of Fortune. I want to be. You can host.
Do that.
You can host it. I want to be on it. Just throwing that out there.
Oh, well.
All right, back to this wheel off from this, from the Wheel of Fortune stuff. Anyway, Terry said he was an incredibly organized person and he would never leave his apartment with all the cabinets open, much like I did as a child playing Wheel of Fortune by myself with my sister. His phone.
Nice tying in the case.
Yeah, of course.
He tried.
Yeah, I tried my best. His phone, of course, was missing too. So these are really specific details that are not adding up to a good situation here. A police sergeant said, quote, "I just started getting these gut feelings that something obviously was very, very, very wrong," end quote. The situation was starting to look strongly like a robbery when Chris's car was found at the edge of town where it didn't belong.
Not a good sign.
No, an investigation officer said, quote, "With tools, I was able to access the car and there was a jacket and a hat and gloves. But what I had most noted was on the passenger seat in the front was a yellow sticky note upside down. And looking at the sticky note, it was directions written on the sticky note. It was no specific address, but directions to a specific location, a home."
Say sticky note one more time.
I know, that was a lot of sticky notes. Sticky notes. Trying my best here. Terry told Snapped, quote, "Christopher didn't know his way around Iron River. He didn't know, like, street names. So if he wanted to go somewhere, he would ask how to get there by, okay, do I turn at a gas station? Do I turn at the stop sign? And he had written the directions down, and so I knew it was the first time he had ever went to wherever those directions led," end quote.
Fair. I don't know how I got anywhere before Google Maps.
How did I function?
How did I read a map?
Yeah.
But isn't this like 2014?
Yeah, this was somewhat recently. So
I mean,
they had Google Maps back then.
They had cell phones.
They did.
Like, who navigates by asking directions like that and then writing it down on a sticky note.
That's old-fashioned.
Yeah. Well, the directions were to an old rundown mining community nearby. When police got to a home, a woman named Kelly Cochran came out of the house. They explained that they were investigating the disappearance of Chris Regan. Kelly said she was his coworker and was worried, but she also hadn't seen him in a few weeks. She had been texting and calling and figured he must have gone to North Carolina. Police were puzzled, though, of course. Why did Chris have directions to her house?
Right.
Well, Kelly had no idea. Her husband Jason was also there, but he didn't say much. The investigating officer noted, quote, Jason basically was very stoic, just stood off to the side. He was kind of emotionless, end quote. Investigators then went to Chris's work to ask around. An author told Snap, quote, Chris was a supervisor of his department and Kelly worked in a nearby department, and I believe that they met because of their proximity at work, end quote. Not unlike you and I.
Right.
But as but his coworkers told investigators there was more to it than that.
Well, obviously, rumor was that Chris and Kelly were having an affair, and I think a lot of rumors started to spread around that small town. So police brought both Kelly and Jason in to be interviewed. Kelly immediately admitted to the affair. Right off the bat, an investigator said, quote, according to Kelly, they met up several times a week. They'd have dinner together. She'd go to his apartment and it seemed like they had a fairly steady relationship, end quote. Kelly also said that she and Jason had an open relationship and he was okay with it. Cool. I like that. New age. But that's not what Jason's coworker said. In fact, they said he was enraged.
Okay.
So upsetting.
Sure.
And Jason himself gave a different opinion in his interview. The investigator said, quote, during the interviews, Jason Cochran did show up, said he was with Kelly and her extramarital affairs. 5 months went by with little more than rumors and speculations at this point.
That's a lot of time, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
To go from that to, you know, still looking for him.
Well, on March 5th, 2015, almost exactly 5 years ago, a new district attorney convinced a judge to grant a search warrant for Kelly and Jason Cochran's home. They didn't find anything directly linking them to the disappearance, but they did find a weird book written under Jason's online name, Quack Quack.
Oh, Quack Quack.
Quack Quack.
Listen, we all had very weird screen names back in the day. At least I did. Mine was Archangel 24 from the X-Men. So, or was it Vanna White 24? Who knows? Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Darren just hit a sound effect.
I had to have it. No, that was actual drums in the background. Don't let them fool you.
Unless anyone knew.
An attorney explained Quack Quack's book to Snap, quote, Jason had put together kind of a novel called Quack, Quack's Revenge. A scenario of going on an almost...
Quack, Quack's Revenge.
I had to use it. Quack, Quack's Revenge.
That was
revenge.
Good. Yeah,
thank
you enunciated that beautifully.
What is that? Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck.
A scenario of going on a almost kind of a killing spree type scenario, telling of how he's got to get revenge. It was dark. It was demented.
Okay.
Some would say it was Quack Quack.
Quack Quack. Crazy.
And guess what one of the victims of Quack Quack was named? You got it. Chris.
Okay.
It wasn't proof of anything, but it sure was interesting to the investigators. Chris is a very common name. John is a very common name. Matt,
sure.
Megan.
Thanks. Well, thank you.
If you see a Darren in there, though.
With a Y, no less.
You're going to know.
Have you ever met another Darren with a Y?
One time.
One?
One time.
Was it a girl?
A girl.
Oh, interesting.
A few weeks later, investigators paid another visit to the Cochran household, but they found the place emptied out and packed up. Kelly and Jason were heading to Indiana.
Okay.
Michigan police contacted Indiana police, who went and got DNA samples from both of them. Although there were strong suspicions, authorities needed more.
Right.
By 2016, the case just went cold. An investigator said, quote, after the initial search with the canine, you kind of come to a brick wall, and where do we go from here? And the other thing that happened was within a few days, we got an early winter, and we had snow, and the ability to investigate on the ground and look for evidence with that snow was very frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You never really want to give up hope, but you do get a sense of hopelessness.
Right. Well, in February of 2016, which feels so recent, you know, like that's not even that long ago.
Totally.
A panic 911 call came in northern Indiana. Kelly was in distress. Her husband was not breathing. And when paramedics arrived, he was turning purple in a seated position. Oh, that sounds terrifying.
It's horrible.
Kelly was hysterical and wouldn't get out of the way to let emergency responders do their job.
What?
She was so disruptive, they even had to move him out to the ambulance. But by then, he had died.
How is that? Oh, just happening.
No, that's crazy. His cause of death appeared to be an overdose of heroin. They found a needle on the side of the bed, and considering how much pain Jason had been in because of his back, it seemed a possibility for him to self-medicate, which is unfortunately a really real thing that happens all over the country.
And a lot of it started from back injuries.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like other injuries of some sort. Yeah. Jason's best friend, Walter, said, quote, I got a text out of the blue from Kelly that said Jason passed away last night. And right away, the wheels were turning. Just didn't seem normal. I never knew anything about any harder drugs than marijuana, end quote.
Also kind of random to just be like, oh, yeah, Jason passed away last night.
To text it, too. It's his best friend.
Right.
I don't know.
Not
That's
only
weird.
Is his best friend, you're his like wife. Yeah,
exactly. Well, Walter said there was no way he died of a heroin overdose. He also said that one day in March of the previous year, Jason called him out of the blue and told them they were moving out, moving the next afternoon.
Kind of an erratic relationship.
Exactly.
Seems.
Which, by the way, are big red flags. We've done so many cases about these kind of like sporadic kind
Absolutely.
Of decisions, life decisions. Walter said, quote, Jason called me. He sounded stressed, which didn't seem normal. His first conversations to me were, there's a guy missing. The police think we have something to do with it, end quote. They couldn't take the gossip and finger pointing and decided to bail out of Iron River back to Indiana. But Walter said it didn't go smoothly. Kelly told him that Jason had maybe tried to kill himself and was in the hospital for depression. And the coroner had more shocking news. Jason's blood did in fact support a drug overdose, but there was also bruising on Jason's neck and face.
Oh, God.
Jason's death was ruled a homicide, and Kelly was the only suspect. Mm-hmm. They confronted Kelly, but she denied having any involvement, and police decided to set up a sting operation. They approached Walter, and he agreed to help by calling Kelly, and we have a little bit of a transcript here we're going to act out.
I mean, I have to be Kelly.
You should be Kelly, because gender stereotypes.
Of course.
And I'll be Walter.
Because Kelly's a girl, and I'm a girl.
And girls can only do
and
other
Kelly
girls'
wears
things.
Pink.
And you're wearing pink, and I'm wearing blue.
And it's cultural appropriation for you to play Kelly.
My God. All right, wet your whistle. Are you good with your drink? You're good? Okay.
Hey, what's up?
This has really been bugging me, but Jason asked me... Let's try that one again.
Oh, you're playing your gender stereotype. Well, boys are terrible.
All right, let's start from the top.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
This has really been bugging me, but Jason asked me for my address, okay?
Okay.
I got a letter like January 4th or 5th or something like that from him. The note says, if something were to happen to me, please send this in a few weeks. Do not open it. Thanks. Quack, quack. And there's an envelope in there with no return address to the Iron River Police Department. It's like I'm supposed to mail this.
Please don't. And so you're serious? You're not fucking with me?
I'm not. I really gotta go.
Scene.
I'm glad we fixed that because I
did.
Think it was worth it.
Me too.
That's very interesting. So he has like details that's saying don't open this until something happens to me. That's
crazy.
He must
have had some suspicions.
Well, by the way, if that ever happened, like say I handed you a note like that, would you open it right away? Because I would.
100%.
Thank
percent.
You. I'm glad to know that.
I have
you.
No respect for the friendship.
No, thank you. That's great.
None
Thanks.
At all.
More respect for my life, though.
Yes, but my curiosity is most important.
Yeah, right, right. Mm-hmm. Walter told Snap, quote, when I hung up that phone and turned the recorder off, I had no doubt in my mind that something bad happened. And I don't know where Chris is at this point, but I'm sure he's dead, end quote. I mean, imagine that.
Horrible.
With somebody you love and care about.
Yeah.
They hone in on Kelly and repeatedly question her for a couple of weeks. The detectives believe she's close to cracking, but they still couldn't get her to open up and they don't have any solid evidence. Then one day a detective gets a text message from Kelly. It read, quote, the West Coast looks beautiful this morning, end quote. Quote, and he knew she went on the run.
Okay, but like, we're going to continue the story. I'm just saying,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
If I was on the lam, why the fuck
why
would
text?
I text a police officer?
Well, here's the thing. It's like, is she actually on the West Coast or is this a red herring and she's like trying to throw off the scent here?
Well, obviously a countrywide manhunt had to go on because now mm-hmm. we don't really know where she is. So Walter began to worry. He was next on her hit list. Detectives continued to text Kelly despite her phone being off in the hopes that she would eventually turn it on, check it.
And by the way, by this time we have like advanced cellular technology.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, she sure did that. Her phone pinged in Wingo, Kentucky.
Oh, not the West Coast.
Well, it is
the West Coast of West Virginia, maybe.
More, yes. No coast to be had
no,
in
right.
Kentucky. Fox News wrote, quote, the U.S. Marshals Service eventually tracked her down in Kentucky where she was arrested and taken into custody. Court documents revealed Cochran spent her time in jail turning her glasses into shanks.
Oh, my God.
And threatening to commit suicide as well as bodily harm to anyone who came near her, end quote. Mm. I wasn't laughing at the idea
no,
of suicide, just glasses into shanks.
Just the word shanks is kind of funny.
Yeah, lamb shank.
Yeah.
According to Michigan Live, quote, soon after, authorities said a skull was found near a trail in Iron County. The teeth in the skull matched Reagan's dental records, the AP said. In her interview with police, the grief-stricken wife's attitude drastically changed. She made it clear she was not in love with Jason, but Chris instead.
Oh, God.
But before they could run off together, Jason discovered the affair. Mm. October 13th, 2014, Jason and Kelly got in a heated fight where Jason brought up a promise they made each other on their wedding night. The prosecutor explained, quote, Kelly and Jason made a pact on their wedding night that if either of them was unfaithful, whoever was unfaithful would be responsible for killing their lover.
Very casual nuptials.
Carson and I had the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Well, her birthday is the same, you know, right around
that time. Yeah. Kelly said it was a joke and wouldn't really happen, but Jason took it serious and said if she didn't take care of Chris, he would.
God, that's terrifying.
Also, what kind of pact are you guys? Guys, it's just, yeah. Now, I don't want to like downplay it, but like it is just a cheating. Like it's not like worth death.
Yeah, right. No, please. It's not like they murdered your firstborn child.
Right, exactly.
Not or that like that a ever parent. Justifies it, but
not trying to like downplay it, but like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And yet, it seems like a quarter of the cases that we there's an affair.
Of course. Totally. Jealousy is strong,
it
my
is.
Friend.
It is.
A reporter added, quote, Jason was going to go through with it and kill Chris, but Kelly felt like she needed to help him. Otherwise, she would not only lose Chris, but she'd lose her husband as well because he wouldn't know how to go about it.
We've said this.
Poor old me.
We said this a million times. Murder doesn't have to be the option, guys. You can get divorced and life can go on, and divorced people can be happy. It's really about your own well-being. Like, don't turn to murder, those of you listening.
Yeah, at least not as a first option.
Right. Well, right.
Chris's widow Terry said, quote, to me, that's just crazy because I have this pact with my husband. I know to now kill this person. It just doesn't make any sense to me. End quote. So apparently Kelly lured Chris over that night and told him, well, come over. We'll have dinner. We can have sex, according to a reporter. Emphasis mine.
Yeah, that was definitely Darren's inflection.
That was my own emphasis.
Yes.
We'll have dinner. We can have sex.
We can have sex.
Which, you know, I'd be over in 2 fucking seconds. It was dinner.
I'm imagining that there are some women out there that are going to isolate that audio.
Yeah, yeah.
Come over. We'll have dinner. We can have sex.
Send it to their booze.
Yeah, or they're going to say
just
know
Carson
and
I have a pact.
Yeah.
So if you do that to me, she's going to kill you.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm telling it right here.
Good preparation. Yeah,
right, I'm preparing. Kelly's story was that they were having sex at the top of basement stairs.
Sounds difficult, but keep going.
When Jason came from the bottom of the stairs and shot Chris in the back of the head.
Oh, my God.
The Detroit News wrote, quote, after Reagan was shot in the back of the head, Kelly retrieved the cord to an electric handsaw, which Jason used to dismember Reagan's body.
Oh, my God, I was not expecting that at all.
Kelly said that they dragged the body down into the basement and Jason dismembered his body with a saw, put them in several garbage bags and scattered them in the woods. But she's in love with him.
Yeah, she loves him. Completely.
She loves him. She's in love with him, not Jason.
I will say this. We've done a lot of shows, I think, at this point where like a saw or dismemberment has been mentioned. I just can't imagine being a human being and dismembering another person's body. Like, what goes through someone's mind?
Sick.
It's crazy to me.
Well, the Chicago Tribune reported, quote, Jason Cochran, 37, fired a long barrel 22 caliber rifle into Regan's head, the probable cause affidavit says. Afterward, Kelly Cochran told police she got the cord for an electric saw so that Jason Cochran could dismember the body, which was placed in garbage bags and dumped in the woods 2 days after the killing. End quote. Fox News reported Cochran directed Michigan authorities to a site where parts of the rifle used to shoot Regan were found, as well as a 22 caliber bullet. Human remains were also discovered, including a skull with an apparent bullet hole. A pair of eyeglasses believed to belong to Regan were nearby.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. Kelly then confessed that by the time she and Jason buried the body and dumped his car, she was already planning Jason's murder because he took away the only good thing in her life and she wanted revenge.
Oh, interesting.
The Chicago Tribune wrote that she told police, quote, she evened the score, end quote.
It's weird how that kind of like revenge type of killing. That,
absolutely. Considering
that.
She kind of helped.
Yeah, yeah.
So when Jason's back was hurting more than ever, she took the opportunity. From the Detroit News, quote, she got her chance in February of this year when he said he wanted to get high, she told police. She was a regular drug user, but he wasn't, so she knows dosing better.
Yeah.
But despite the lethal amount of heroin he had taken, he still wasn't dead. So Kelly finishes the job with her hands, covering his nose and mouth and strangling him as he vomited, so he's asphyxiated.
Yeah.
She said he looked at her scared and confused as she killed him, and he died in under a minute.
Oh, it's so brutal.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Especially the look.
Yeah.
But it was almost the other way around. The Chicago Tribune said, quote, she told police she and her husband had argued on October 13th, 2014, and that her husband had asked her how she was going to fix things. Ms. Cochran stated she contemplated killing Jason instead of Chris. Records quote her as saying that.
Oh, my God. It just makes you wonder, like, what type of people you're, like, on the subways with. I know I've said this before, but it's like,
Wait, did you just kill someone with a heroin overdose?
Right, exactly. Well, Kelly was arrested and charged with double homicide. Terry told Fox 2 Detroit that the first time she ever saw Kelly was in the courthouse. She said, quote, "I just remember her staring at me and grinning. I took a deep breath and thought she was the scariest person I've ever seen. I was afraid. I couldn't look at her for the rest of the time I was there testifying. It was like she was laughing and saying, look at what I did. You can't stop me. She just sat there and grinned," end quote.
So she is a complete and total fucking psycho.
Yeah, totally. I will say one other just random tangent. I was on the subway once and I was like, it was kind of busy, not super busy, but I was just sitting there and I remember just kind of like turning around and looking over to my right.
I'm just showing pictures of
Kelly. Oh, you found a picture of him? Yeah. Of her?
Just visuals.
Yeah. And I look over to my right and there's like, I don't know what he was on. Definitely got some guy with some kind of drugs. And he was just staring at me with the biggest smile, like clown looking smile.
I hate that. I'm out.
And I got so scared. I was like, why are you already looking at me like this?
No.
So I get it when people smile at you. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
In the trial, she took the stand and painted Jason as the real monster in their relationship. Kelly testified about Jason allegedly cutting up Chris's body, saying, quote, "When he cut him up, he had one of his hands. He said that's the last time he'd be waving to me.
Oh.
He was waving goodbye to me." End quote. That's very disturbing.
This is like the most gruesome in terms of this stuff. Like,
Matt,
the look.
At some point you have to cut some of the stuff out of here. No pun intended. She claimed Jason then threatened her and said, "You're going to help with this or he would do something similar to her." Also terrifying. News footage shows Kelly testifying, saying, quote, "He put a gun to my head. He was going to shoot me. He was going to shoot himself," end quote. But a police sergeant on the case thought otherwise, telling Snapped, quote, "In my opinion, I believe that Jason Cochran was not the abusive person in the relationship, that Kelly basically just did what she wanted to do, and that was just the way it is," end quote. Well, the jury thought so, too. Because
I think so, too.
And so does Darren. Kelly was found guilty of premeditated murder of Chris. She was then sent to Indiana to stand trial for the murder of her husband, Jason. But before she did, she indicated that there might be more bodies.
What?
According to the... This is, like, one of the craziest stories. According to the... Thank you, Darren. Yes. Very appropriate time for that.
I chose randomly.
According to the Detroit News, a prosecutor wrote in a court motion, quote, "Defendant has claimed responsibility for the death of other individuals, which would, if true, make her a serial killer." Right.
Correct.
That's what that means. Yes. Exactly. Fox News wrote that Kelly Cochran claimed to have other friends buried in
quote friends.
Yeah,
there.
That's true. Quote unquote friends buried in Indiana, Michigan, Tennessee, and Minnesota.
Jesus, this person got around, huh?
Yeah. According to Fox 2, Kelly's family said she may have murdered up to 9 people and buried their remains throughout the Midwest.
Her own family.
I was just
going
to say, why would her
that.
Family be able to deduce that? That's interesting to me.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe once she was on trial, like, in hindsight, they're like, "Oh, what happened to, like,
right.
Bob?"
Oh, right.
All these ex-boyfriends. Yeah.
And no one's ever heard from him. And then there was Rick, and they could probably figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, Rick. No
Bob
one's asking
Rick.
About Rick, man.
That was an interesting, like, hypothetical name, man.
Gary.
I don't know why. Yeah. Well, as part of her plea deal, Kelly can't be prosecuted for additional murders if she provides the locations of remains. There wasn't a trial for her husband's murder. Kelly entered a plea deal and took 65 years. She was transported back to Michigan to serve her time. Terry said, quote, "I remember when they were looking for Chris during the daytime, I would walk in the woods just trying to find something, a piece of his clothing, just anything. I don't want to do that anymore. He's still not completely found. He's around the county, which is scary."
And
quote.
Let's keep in mind that Chris had an affair, like, with this woman,
right.
And, like, Terry and him had gone their separate ways. So it's, like, for this ex of Chris's to still feel like...
Yeah.
Like, there's this almost... Not that there's anything she could do and she shouldn't feel guilty about it, but it's almost this extra layer of, like...
Guilt or something,
well,
maybe?
Well, yeah. You know...
Compassion.
I would feel weird about it because it's,
yeah,
like,
totally.
Yeah, he chose to do this, but, like, if he had stayed with me... He might still be alive.
That's a good point. Take a drink on that one. I'm going to need a drink after
you
these details.
You betcha bippy, I will.
According to the Toronto Sun, one neighbor even, quote, told detectives of eating a strange-tasting burger.
Nope, out.
At a barbecue held shortly after Regan vanished, the witness didn't realize at the time they could have been eating human flesh, end quote.
Can we test for that?
I hope that... You mean like test the burger?
Like test.
I'm gonna
like,
throw up.
Yeah, I know. But do you ever see fried green tomatoes?
Yes.
It's
right.
like that. Something you like know that. What I mean? Secrets in the sauce.
Oh, God. Well, according to Fox News, quote, Kelly Cochran's own brother told investigators he feared his sister was a serial killer, and neighbors said they believed they were served human remains, possibly Regan's, at a barbecue.
I mean, okay, this is a crazy sort of like story, something we've never heard. We don't know if that's the case.
Right. It's
I mean, I think it's interesting to think about.
The timing's all there.
And it's all alleged by the family.
Right.
But, I mean...
Still scary.
For the family to be saying that they might have eaten human remains, crazy. But again, all alleged.
Yes. That's the last part of this research. So, I hope you didn't throw up your breakfast this morning on your commute to work, guys. But that's what Matt was up to the last week. Very disturbing case from top to bottom. So many twists and turns, actually. And
oh, my God.
This makes me...
It starts out where you think it's just going to be
a regular
everyday
yeah,
murder.
Exactly.
Like, an affair happens. She kills him. She poisons him. Not that that's not any less serious.
No, of course not.
But, like, I feel like the added bonus of, like, she's making human burgers
oh,
is,
God.
Like, crazy.
It's a lot. Well, let us know what you guys think. Let us know if you were able to keep down your breakfast on your commute this morning. Let us know at Martinis and Murder... Or, sorry, hashtag Martinis and Murder, at Jay Thrasher, at Carpe Darren. You can even tag Matt the bartender on Instagram.
But you shouldn't.
Let's do some listener shout outs as we finish up the episode.
Let's do it.
I want to give a special happy birthday shout out. 47 years old, Denise from our Boston show.
Denise!
Who sat in the front row and brought us Bailey's and wine.
Gotta love her.
Listen, if you know us, you should be bringing Bailey's and wine. By the way, I'm just kidding.
But it was like strawberry shortcake Bailey's.
Which was a perfect.
Red velvet Bailey's.
Yeah, it was red velvet. Thank you. It's delicious. I think I chugged a bottle of it.
You did.
On stage.
You basically did.
So happy birthday, Denise.
Happy birthday. Tabitha on Twitter says, quote, I'm listening to the recap of the DC show and I'm dying listening about Matt eating like a raccoon. He's now hashtag Matt the Trash Panda, which makes sense.
Yeah, that for if you didn't listen to the recap, I was
eating like a fucking raccoon.
I have video evidence of Matt eating food while we walk back to our hotel with his hands out of a box at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's
grown
fine,
man. Grown man.
Yeah. Well, Matt, do you have any thoughts about Matt the Trash Panda? Is that your new identity?
I dig it.
Okay.
I'm not sure I can have a trash panda as the father of my child.
Right. No, not for Tersh.
Bad enough I have a reindeer.
Right.
Think of all the rumors that are going to swirl about my kid.
Many.
You know what I mean?
If it's a like, trash panda got you pregnant? Oh my God.
Like, think. I don't want that.
The animal kingdom would be a buzz with rumors.
It would be a buzz. And then if he doesn't come back to the next episode, would I serve you guys burgers?
Oh, yikes.
Bringing it back to the case?
I know, yeah.
Too much?
Maybe a little bit. We should probably go now.
Yeah, okay.
Any
okay,
last
okay.
little like sound effects you want to hit before we head out? Oh, it's such a good episode.
Everyone, thank you so much.
We'll be here next time. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Law & Order SVU is now TV's longest-running primetime drama. And this season, we're going even deeper with the Law & Order SVU podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.